In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the newsletter for this month, if you've seen it, I included Luther's letter on whether one may flee the deadly plague. And then my comments on it, as brief as they were, at least comparatively so. In his letter to Pastor Johann Hess, Luther talks about vocation, he talks about duty, and some of the practical things that one might do for the sake of the common good during such a thing as a worldwide pestilence. So I thought that was particularly of importance to us. But towards the end of that rather lengthy letter, those of you who endured to the end, he talks about a subject, a topic that we don't really much hear about nowadays. He talks about how a Christian should prepare for death. And there's many and various reasons why we don't talk about that today, but not the least of which is we're just simply scared of death, I think. We've distanced ourselves pretty well from it in a lot of ways that probably isn't healthy. And today I'm going to break from the lectionary and talk about perhaps a discomforting topic for many of us, our own death, and how to die well, and how to die with dignity, a death dignified by Jesus Christ. I want to begin, though, by sharing with you a little about the death of my own grandfather, George Hoffman Mooney. Some of his people are buried down there, some of his older people, at least, down there in that little cemetery that, gosh, Doris, you took me 2 years ago in Spencer Mountain. And some of his other family owned an inn in downtown Dallas. And those were more directly related to him. You've probably heard his name before, George, when it comes time in the intercessory prayers to thank God for those people who departed in the faith of the church. You probably heard me mention him every time that opportunity comes up, because I do. My grandfather was a dignified man. He was an old school sort of man. He listened much more than he ever spoke. He was a gardener, and he loved growing just about anything that would grow, which is probably most likely where I get that same love of mine from. He was well respected in his own community. He was an Eagle Scout. He got the Silver Beaver Award. He was a very successful businessman, superintendent of Kings Mountain City Schools. He volunteered to go into the Second Great War and was a captain in the Navy of a minesweeper on the South Pacific Front. You know that game that you play, maybe some of you younger folks, that game you play on your computer called Minesweeper? Well, he was a real minesweeper, and when he would make a mistake, the consequences were much more devastating than pushing reset. When he came back from the war, he started several knitting mills in Kings Mountain. This was, of course, long before NAFTA sent all of that industry away from our country. He was born and raised a Lutheran, and for the latter part of his life, for over 50 years, never missed worship. And at the time of his death, he was a dignified man, suffering in all of those embarrassing ways in which your body begins to betray you, and the strange ways that you have to deal with your body's failure when that happens, when pancreatic cancer begins to shut down all of your organs. And he had to bear all of this humiliation, the washing, the cleansing, the probing, the prodding in front of cheerful young nurses the age of his 26-year-old grandson at the time. Dying in a hospital and then in a hospice in the way that he did, you lose your rights to any sort of modesty. Any of those who've been in a hospital know very well what I'm talking about. And especially when you begin to lose control of your body. Few men could have found the indignities and the humiliations of those last few weeks more excruciatingly unbearable than did my grandfather. But this was what dying of cancer was like for my grandfather. And my grandfather, being the man that he was, and he was a man, he took it like one. It was the hand that he had been dealt, and he was going to play it and not fold, even as bad as it was. So today, I want to say something about what my grandfather taught me about dying, going on 16 years ago now. It's a great blessing to be able to be with your family as they go through the process of dying. And I say process intentionally because many times that's what death is like. It's a process. It doesn't happen like that. It doesn't always come as a thief in the night. And the day he died, I can remember very clearly, he was almost non-responsive and had been that way for a couple of days. And he kept sliding his right foot off the side of his hospice bed like he wanted to go somewhere. He had, as far as we knew, at least according to what the doctors told us, weeks to live, at least. After several hours had passed that last day, my mother and I told him good night and that we'd see him again tomorrow, which was our custom in those last few weeks. We told him that we loved him. We got the phone call late that night that he wasn't doing well and that we needed to get up there. And I was in seminary at the time. And I'd already been assigned to a parish in the surrounding area. So I'd been around this sort of thing. I knew what that call late at night telling us that he wasn't doing well. I knew what it meant. And that night, after 84 years of life on earth, his soul returned to his Father who created it. Throughout the diagnosis and all of the pain, and there was a lot of pain, all of the suffering and witnessing how he dealt with his lot as a son, a child of God, clinging to the promises of Jesus Christ to him, it was a great blessing and honor to be there with my grandfather as he went through the process of dying in the way that he did. Because at the end of it all, he died as he lived, with dignity. He didn't die with dignity in the way that many people might think, certainly not as those who promote death with dignity might define it, which essentially means to die as if you're not dying, pretend that you're not. Many would say that it's not dignified to be dressed and cleaned and bathed and poked and prodded by nurses who are cheerful in the age of your 26-year-old grandson. Many would say it is not dignified to lay there and to waste away, to not be able to control your bowels, to lose the ability to speak, to communicate, to eat, and to drink. They'd say it's not dignified to have your children and your grandchildren to see you that way. Many would say that it's not dignified to die whenever it is that death takes you, and not when you yourself choose to go. And honestly, I can see the appeal of those who champion death with dignity in programs of the like offered in the Netherlands and in Oregon or wherever, where doctors will help you leave this world at the moment of your choosing without any sort of complaint or pain or fuss or bother. I don't want to die yet. But when the time comes, I certainly remember thinking through all of it that I don't want to die in the way that my grandfather died. I'm not as strong as him. I'm not as much of a man as he was. I would find all of the indignities that he suffered to be just as excruciating as a man of the same dignity and same stature that he did, that he was. But the thing is, I have absolutely no confidence that I would deal with them as bravely and as courageously as he did. I would not want my children to see their father suffer like that, so helpless like that. I mean, I was able to convince each one of them at one point in their lives that I was actually the strongest man alive. And now she's shaking her head no. See, that was a while ago. I was at one point, right. But when you get older, you get weaker and bigger down here on the belly, right? I just don't want them seeing me that way. No father does. Death with dignity, essentially euthanasia, offers not only an escape from pain and an escape from humiliation, an escape from suffering, but a rational and seemingly noble way to leave this life. All that it requires, however, is one small thing that they forget to tell you. All you've got to do is to declare yourself to be God, to make yourself the Lord of life and death, and you can do whatever it is that you want to do. All you've got to do is your last definitive action is to do what you've been doing all of your life, every time that you willfully sin. Declare yourself on the matter at hand to be the final authority, the last judge, and the only one whose vote counts. But the fact remains, my brother, my sister, you are not God. And the Christian believes that the decision when to leave this life is not one that God has delegated to you, to me, or to anyone else. So to put it quite bluntly, God expects us to suffer indignity if we are given to suffer indignity. We're expected to endure the shame and the humiliation and all of the pain that comes with it if that's what we're given to endure. We then are to say with our brother Job, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that, as far as dying goes, is that. This is what my grandfather has taught me. And this is not, from a worldly perspective, a very comforting or very comfortable teaching. And it's one much easier for Christians to observe in theory than it is to in practice. It's much easier for me to stand up here and say all of this and preach all of this than to do it when my turn comes. Because in practice, we all want to die without embarrassment and without shame. But this is what my grandfather has taught me. To die with dignity means to accept what God has given you and persevere until the very end. It means to play that hand that you have been dealt, no matter how bad you think it to be, and to do so without folding. To die with dignity means to actually live as if the Lord does in fact give and the Lord does in fact take away. My grandfather showed me that. He showed me that. A death dignified by Jesus Christ is to live and is to die as if you do not belong to this world. And you do not belong to yourself. It's to live and die knowing that you are the possession of a God who loves you, his pearl of great price, as we heard weeks ago. And in either case, that of living or that of dying, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a dignity of a different sort than the grossly misleading slogan, "Death with Dignity," suggests. Because there's a great eternal dignity, a holy dignity, that comes in accepting whatever indignities you have to suffer to remain faithful to God. And this was the last thing I learned from my grandfather. He taught me that in death, a man can be humiliated, utterly humiliated, and yet remain noble. The nobility of a prince in the kingdom of God. And the humiliations that he endured and that we endure make that nobility all the more obvious and beautiful. Because what my grandfather did in dying the way that he did for all of his family to see was to hold up for us an image, to hold up an icon of the death of his Savior, Jesus Christ. He followed in the way of his Lord, both in life and in death. My grandfather died with dignity, though the advocates of euthanasia and a clean, quick, controlled exit may not think so, because this is exactly what his Lord Jesus Christ did. Jesus died the indignity of a convicted criminal, and he was the King of kings and Lord of all things. He died with his flesh torn open, the flesh that he took on to save us, knowing that it was only by his wounds that we are healed. He died naked and nailed to a tree. He did not have a loincloth on, however, no artist would ever depict their Lord naked. But this is how he hung there and died. And yet he died with dignity. Why? Because he had died in obedience to his Father. He took on all that was given to him, suffering all of the pain, all of the humiliation that this world could give to him. He took the cup of his Father that was handed to him, and he drank it down to its dregs. That's living and dying with dignity. May we both in our life and in our death be strong enough to deal with everything that comes our way with Christian dignity. May we stand unmoved with Job and with our brother and my grandfather, George Hoffman Mooney, when our world falls apart and say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord." May we bear witness to this world as strong Christian men and women who know that whatever else our future might hold, whatever might come our way, the God who loves us and lives for us is our future. God grant us what we need to endure, that which is given to us to endure. In the name of Jesus, amen.